From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns brings another portion of a message entitled The Ever-Living and Ever-Giving Christ, the last in this series of studies in the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus. In the second chapter of Philippians, speaking of the Savior's having been obedient unto death, the Apostle Paul goes on to say, Wherefore God hath highly exalted him. Risen from the dead, the Lord Jesus entered triumphantly into glory, where he is now seated at the Father's right hand, interceding for his people and preparing a place for them. Dr. Cairns will continue to meditate upon these glorious truths in a few minutes. But first, today's hot topic, Army Chaplain Suppresses Baptist Chaplain's Services.
Some time ago, I reported on the action of the U.S. Navy against one of its chaplains. It fined him $3,000 for disobeying the order of a superior officer to desist from praying in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Congress quickly moved, and the Navy changed its policy to allow chaplains to pray according to their consciences. Now it's the turn of the Army. Actually, that's a little misleading because the events we will discuss occurred in August 2007. They've just recently been made public, hence our interest. A fundamental Baptist chaplain, Captain Stuart Kazarevich, ran services for the soldiers at Forward Operating Base Loyalty, at which he preached and prayed and answered soldiers' questions in a manner consonant with his fundamental Baptist beliefs. However, his brigade chaplain didn't like what Kazarevich was telling the men, and when the Baptist chaplain took a break for R&R, he moved to have the services shut down, despite Kazarevich's known intention to arrange for the continuation. Even when he returned from his period of rest, Kazarevich was not permitted to resume his services. He was endorsed by the Associated Gospel Churches, who have reported that the suppression lasted 5 weeks. According to the Reverend G. William Baum, the chairman of AGC's Commission on Chaplains, it seems that it was a representative from another professedly Christian denomination who closed down the service. Chaplain Baum said that the service appears to have been suppressed, quotes, because it was offensive to the brigade chaplain, end the quote. That brigade chaplain allegedly stated that in the army there was no room for being born again. Chaplain Baum stated, AGC believes the Army's initial response was slow and ineffective, despite the unprecedented depredation of basic constitutional rights of the fundamental Baptist congregation. In short, this calls attention to the suppression of a fundamental Baptist service and the command's insensitivity to religious hostility. Thankfully, the soldiers served by Captain Kazarevich would not accept the suppression of their services. They signed a petition in which they were joined by family members and by some pastors back in the States. The services were restored, but the Army has remained silent on the religious freedom issues it raises. Remember that some time ago, there were reports of issues within the Corps of Chaplains for the U.S. military because of some members being approved for those posts by a Muslim, a man who at the time headed the American Muslim Council, but who is now serving a 23-year prison sentence on federal terrorism charges. Now, this is bizarre. A Muslim who was so inefficiently vetted by the military that they failed to discover his terrorist connections, was given the power to approve military chaplains, while Christian chaplains are being harassed if they even mention the name of Jesus. And their services have, at least in the case of Captain Kazarevich, been shut down because some superior officer despised his message, despite the fact that the men who were going out to face death welcomed that message. The Association of Gospel Churches has called for a full investigation. I hope they get it, and that they're able to root out of the military those who have taken on the task of prohibiting our servicemen and women from hearing the gospel of Christ.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the subject of angels. In 5 articles, various ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church deal with such matters as what are angels, what is their ministry, as well as the topic of Satan and the fallen angels. Among other articles of interest in this issue, there is a focus on what the Lord is doing in the country of Peru. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's LTBS at FREEPRES.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that little word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
Remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. And that is usually taken to say, we have rest in Christ, we have salvation in Christ, and that's very true. Certainly part of the meaning. But when Paul wrote this, as I believe it was Paul who wrote this, he didn't use the usual term. He used the word that has one meaning and one meaning only. There is therefore a keeping of the Sabbath to the people of God. Why? Because Christ finished His work and Christ has entered into His rest. That's what Paul's saying. We often hear from people like Seventh-day Adventists that it was Constantine who changed for the Christian church the holy day from the Jewish Sabbath to the first day of the week. It is true that Constantine applied it by law. He made it a mandatory thing, but he could only do that because the Christians had been doing it from day one. Is there any basis in the Bible for saying there's a change from the creation rest of the seventh day to the redemptive rest of the first day? There is. Hebrews 4 verses 9 and 10 tell us what it is. Because Christ entered into His rest on the basis of His finished work, there remains. The word remains means there's left over from what has gone before. Something left over. It's a keeping of the Sabbath. But the fact that it is commemorative of the redemption that was finished
is why it's the first day, what John calls in the book of the Revelation, the Lord's Day. Christ has entered into his rest. Christ isn't sacrificing today. Christ is not perpetuating his sacrifice today. When priests, whether Orthodox priests or Romish priests or Anglican priests or any other kind of priests, tell their people that when they come to the communion table and what they call the Holy Eucharist, they are presenting to God a sacrifice, they are lying. And they are blaspheming. When they say that the little wafer becomes the deity and humanity of Jesus Christ, and that they are offering his entire body and blood unto God as a true, and these are the words of the official Vatican documents, a true propitiatory sacrifice for the sins of the living and of the dead. When they say that, they are flying in the face of everything that the Bible teaches about the sacrifice of Christ. He is not now sacrificing. And for anybody else to try to perpetuate what he finished is an utter repudiation of the work of God and a blasphemy against the gospel of Jesus Christ. Calvary is complete. He has entered into glory. And he has entered in as our forerunner. It's the beautiful language of Hebrews 6, verse 20. He is our forerunner. In other words, he's gone on before to guarantee our arrival after him. That's our interest personally in his entrance into glory. We say a word about his exaltation to the highest glory. The word of God is clear in this, that ascended to heaven, Jesus Christ has been exalted. In Acts 2:23, we read that he was by the right hand of God exalted. In Philippians 2:9, we read, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Think of how the Bible describes Christ's entrance into glory. You'll see it's an exaltation. We read this morning, he passed into, the Greek term is actually a beautiful one, he passed through the heavens. He passed through the heavens. The idea there is picturesque, that he passed through the third heaven right to the very throne of God. He passed through the heavens. He passed into heaven itself. Paul tells us in Ephesians 4, he hath ascended up on high. He further tells us he has entered into heaven, into the sanctuary, the holy place, where he is set on God's right hand, what he calls the right hand of the throne of the majesty on high. The book of the Revelation paints the picture in Revelation 4 of the throne of God, and it shows you the Lamb in the midst of God's throne. Here's the exaltation of Christ. And for Christ, that exaltation is one to a station of majesty and of honor. Hebrews 1 is a wonderful passage that I've often exhorted you to memorize as much as possible. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And then he goes on to give you a description of that Son, part of which says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. That's the glory of Christ. And what did he do? When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Listen, it's a place of majesty. It's the place of honor. The Father said, sit thou on my right hand. And that would be a Hebraism for the place of fullness of honor, majesty, and glory.
Psalm 16:11 makes it clear it's a place of blessedness and pleasure. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Remember, that's true of us, but it's really spoken of Christ. He's the one enjoying the pleasure. That's an aspect of the life of Christ today that preachers very often overlook. Christ is not sitting in heaven moping and mourning at the failure of his work. Oh, he may be grieved at the sins of his people, but the Lord Jesus sees of the travail of his soul and he's satisfied. He says, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, thou wilt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. And those are terms that describe his resurrection. You'll not leave me in the grave, and you'll not suffer my body to see corruption. You will raise me from the dead, and I'll be at the right hand of God. And that's the place of pleasure forevermore. I want to tell you today, Christ is the ever-blessed Christ. He's the Christ who's totally satisfied with what he did. He's the Christ who's entirely happy with what he accomplished. The Lord Jesus Christ is in the place of blessedness and pleasure. I want you to understand that the brow of our Savior isn't furrowed with worry today. Oh, he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He loves his people still. I'll show you in a moment how he still sympathizes and feels for them and with them. But he's not worried about the course of world events. I remember as a young fellow coming out of meetings scared stiff after listening to some idiotic preachers. And yes, they were in a Free Presbyterian church. Glad to say it was a visiting preacher, mind you. Couple of them together, and there they were, and one was preaching doom and gloom in one sense, and the other was preaching about communism. And at that time the Russian communists seemed to be unstoppable. And I well remember how he put it. He said, look at the West. I'm giving my age away when I say this. Harold Macmillan, old man, he's in charge of Great Britain. Konrad Adenauer, he's in charge of West Germany. Charles de Gaulle, old and idiotic as ever, he's in charge of France. And he looked at America, and you had a lame duck president who couldn't do very much. He said, here we are in the West, and look at this big bad bear of communism, and man, he painted such a black and terrible picture. People were going out with their hearts pounding, their knees knocking, their eyes blinded by this gloom. And you'd have thought, it took a little while for me to get this far, mind you, you'd have thought that God Almighty had suddenly abdicated the throne. And that there was Jesus Christ up in heaven with his furrowed brows, wringing his hands. What am I going to do about Nikita Khrushchev? Come off it. There are no worry lines in the face of our Redeemer. Oh, there are the scars of his suffering. But I want to tell you today, there is the pleasure and the smile and the happiness of absolute sovereignty and success. That's the Savior I worship. That's his exaltation. It's an exalted Savior. Oh, that we would get our eyes, that we see Jesus glorified. That's where he is. Because there he has the station of fullness of power. He says, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Did he mean it? Did he mean some power in part of heaven and a little bit of earth? That's the Christ that's presented, the impotent Savior who wants to do a whole lot and is frustrated by Satan and by man. I want to tell you, he says, all power is given unto me. I cannot, and I'll be honest about this, I cannot explain the exercise of the Savior's power. I cannot tell you why the sovereign, loving, living Lord does this and allows that. All I can say is, even so, so it seemed good in the Father's sight.
But I hope we will be wise enough to know that we are stupid. And if you have that much wisdom, you've got a whole lot more than most people. If you're wise enough to know that by nature you're stupid, then you will know not to fly in the face of the all-wise God, because you can't understand what He's doing and why He's doing it. He is in the place of power, as we have read this morning in Ephesians chapter 1. God put Him at His own right hand. He's far above all principality and power and every name that is named in heaven and in earth, in this world and the world that is to come. He has given Him to be the head over all things to His church. He's given them to His church, but He's the head over all things. That's the Christ of God.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.